Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. This is a special Baby Boomers edition. Greetings and welcome to the fourth and final part of the story of John Arthur Grant. We've followed John's story from being a young boy who moved from Canberra at the age of three to Melbourne, where he and his mother set up life together. We've learned that he was very talented on piano and looked destined for a life as a concert pianist before the lure of the music of the 1960s dragged him into a world of bands and all that brought along with it. John has had his fair share of bands he started and bands he's worked with, including working with a number of well-known musicians including Phil Manning, Mike Rudd, the Eurogliders and many more. As the decades went on, John learned to diversify and he travelled the world for Korg, demonstrating their keyboards, whilst constantly refining his own music. His diversification included being the musical director for legendary Australian pop vocalists like Colleen Hewitt, Johnny Young, Brian Cadd, Mike Brady and other corporate rock acts. He's also composed and had performed many of his more classically based pieces, and this is expanded upon in this part of his story. In fact, the program finishes with a crossover composition of John's. John also shares with us his thoughts on a range of social issues, but let's commence. Here's John talking about how he joined the Melbourne Composers League.
I joined a little organisation called the Melbourne Composers League. The Melbourne Composers League puts on concerts every so often where people are either encouraged to put on their own works or various connections that they're connected to overseas composers' organisations too. And so every so often a call for works will come in. And I wrote a piece for a clarinet trio, which is performed here in Melbourne at one of their concerts. I wrote some piano pieces, not for me to play because I don't have the technique to play what I wrote anymore, but I wrote them for another pianist, but they were subsequently played at a Melbourne Composers League concert just a couple of months ago, and I'm just waiting to get a recording of that. So apart from all that, I'm currently working on an album of piano-based pieces in a style that I might call Icelandic, that is the country Iceland.
Yes, I'm struggling to conceptualise how that relates to the music, Icelandic.
Well, this is a slightly different direction. It's I like to call them post-classical pieces or alt-classical, if you like. You can make up a genre. But there's a group of composers in Iceland like Ólafur Arnalds and Johan Johansson in Germany, Nils Fram, and a few others who part of what they do is influenced by classical music, but it tends to be very melodic, perhaps very, very gentle, slow-moving music. I hesitate to use the word ambient because there's a
Please
whole
don't.
Lot of other...
I relate that to these days to what you hear in elevators.
A little bit more
challenging than
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So that's another musical direction that I have to have an album ready maybe next year.
Again, it's in some ways it's a shame to keep coming back to this, but it's almost an inevitability. Is any of this likely to generate an income for you, or is it again about sure... giving you an opportunity to just more fully investigate yourself and express yourself? Or is there some...
It's mainly the latter. It's mainly about me wanting to do my own thing.
Mm-hmm. I think we've established in the programs we've been listening to that music, if not the, it is certainly a substantial part of your life. Yet you live in a community. You don't live in isolation, even though you could in this room. I could happily live in a room full of recording equipment and music.
Yes.
But we live in a community outside where things are happening outside us. What does John Arthur see and feel when he looks outside himself in terms of what's happening around us politically, with the environment? Do you have opinions on these things? Are there things out there that are concerning you?
Sure.
You've had some children. Maybe you'll have grandchildren and even great-grandchildren. Do you have any fears for them in terms of what is happening around us now for the future?
Yes, I do. I have a second child by my current wife, by the way. I do have grandchildren from my first marriage. I'm concerned about climate. I'm concerned. I hesitate to start because I'd rather talk about other musical things than too many political things. But I am concerned about the state of the world in many respects. One of my hobby horses is the so-called war on drugs and the futility of it, and I despair at our the current drug laws all around the world, which are totally non-productive and
ineffectual.
I would like to see all drugs treated the same as alcohol, tobacco, gambling, and prostitution. Any other human vice needs to be, in my view, fully decriminalized and regulated by the government, so that in some form or another, so that we can help people. So we don't kill people. We don't need to kill people on overdoses, for example. So I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about climate, lots of other things, yes.
Pull you back to something you said when we first started our talk together about how you, as a young boy, hop on your bike, you could go riding anywhere. Nobody cared. Nobody was concerned because it was safe. It's not safe like that out in our community now. How have we got to this situation?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess a lot of people would like to know how we got there, or perhaps how to turn the clock back. I don't really want to turn the clock back. I'm happy living for the future. There's a lot of unfortunate things about the way life has turned out, but there's a lot of good things too. So I'm not overly depressed by that. I choose, in general, to put a positive slant on my life and existence.
Okay, let's talk about your life and existence. You're in your 60s. Once upon a time, that really was considered as quite old, and certainly when you and I were young kids, people talked about this. The people in their 60s, they'd almost written them off. They're ready to finish and fall off the edge of the cliff, and please do, because you're a nuisance. Unless there's an unfortunate accident, like you walk down the street and the bus happens to accidentally hit you, you've still got quite a few years left. I mean, you've got 20, 30 years left, at least, in your life. That's a substantial amount of life.
Yes.
What would you like to do with the years you've got remaining?
I would keep writing and producing music. That's the number one thing that I'm interested in. I'm interested in art more broadly as well, visual art as well, but I'm not a practitioner. My wife is. I'm a musician. I want to keep making music. I will continue writing the sorts of music that we've just been talking about, post-classical, old classical, call it what you like. I'll continue in those various directions that come from those. I'll continue that. I will also continue playing in bands with other people, playing other people's music, playing rock bands. I'll continue that. That's ongoing, as I said right at the start, and I reckon that it will keep going for possibly another 10 years or more. And there'll be less and less of it, and the money will go down and down even further. But that's not I've stopped caring about.
It's an interesting thing about the baby boomer generation is that it's not a generation that just goes quietly and fades into the background. It seems to me that people like yourself and other boomers that I've interviewed, age doesn't become a barrier. It might physically, as our bodies start to age a little bit, but intellectually and mentally and our desires to keep going are very strong. Would you see that about yourself, that you,
yes.
you know, life has still got a lot to go for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I despair of those earlier generations where, as you said, by the time you got to 60, well, very often you were worn out, you know, you're half dead by the time you got there. But I'm fortunate enough to be reasonably fit. I try to stay very active, and I do a reasonable amount of exercise. Some might say a lot, and I try to eat healthy food. And we don't know the future. We don't. You can always get hit by a bus, obviously. But I'm looking forward to keeping on working for a long time, if I can. I did mention that word semi-retirement earlier. The word retirement is not something that I see on the horizon.
Not in the lexicon.
No.
No.
Not full retirement.
No.
And you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices. Turning back time. Turning back time. Turning back time. Turning back time.
I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with John Arthur Grant. And John is reflecting on the fact that even though he's now been playing music for well over 50 years, retirement is definitely not on the cards.
Before we finish, can I just get your thoughts on the issue of Music Australia and where we are at today? The 60s were incredibly vibrant because it was new and there were no barriers because nobody knew what they were doing, so you just went out and did it. The 70s, we were able to start consolidating and getting some directions, and as the decades went on, the music became more and more powerful. A lot of people would say today it's lost its way. Would you agree with that? Australian music we're talking about.
Yes, I suppose so. But I also don't really want to sound like a typical older generation decrying the music of youth. I don't like that sort of blanket attitude either. I've always been open to new music and I remain open to it. I will listen to anything, literally anything, at least for a short period of time. And try to get something out of it. So I don't mind listening to new music, young people's music, and seeing what's going on. But going back to what you said, I do feel very fortunate to have spent those formative years in the, growing up in the 60s and early 70s. The decade to me is 65, rough 64 to 74, 75, when there was such an explosion of musical creativity in the rock world, and was no longer just pop music that was disposable. It became a real art form, and it gave rise to lots of different directions in rock music that are still multiplying today. But it seemed like it really multiplied in a huge way for those 10 years. There's progressive rock I was talking about earlier, but there was country rock and all sorts of things that happened. And I thought at the time, hey, it's just going to keep on going like this forever. And of course, it didn't. Things did seem to sort of stultify a little bit. They didn't. The amount of progression. There was always good music. Every year has some good music. I think I could find lots of good things to love in the 80s and even 90s in rock music, but the amount of creativity and different directions didn't seem to quite live up to the promise of the late 60s.
I'm just wondering whether there are two things happening simultaneously during this period that might have got us to where we are now, and I'd just be interested in whether you would agree or whether you would disagree. One is during that period of the 60s, 70s, and even into the 80s, but certainly 60s and 70s, the opportunity to be heard was there. There were so many live gigs. Radio would pick up everybody and anybody that had something that sounded interesting. And so television was the same. You had so many live television music shows. So the opportunity to get the music out there was there. They seem to have shrunk away. Well, radio today, you can forget it. I mean, unless you are one of the very fortunate few, you're just not going to get heard on radio, on commercial radio.
Yes.
And
yes,
television hasn't got the shows.
Yes.
The second element, sorry, before I just don't want to cut you off, the second element to consider is we are both surrounded in our studio with technology. I also wonder whether that same technology hasn't also been a barrier in as much as 50s, 60s, 70s, the musician and his instrument were the key. Today, you can almost put anybody in the studio and make them sound good through the technology. Do they need to be creative anymore? And has the creativity gone out of the hands of the musician into the bean counters?
We do have to be creative to a degree to make anyone sound good in a studio.
That's a technician.
Not necessarily. Technicians can be creative.
Yes.
Technology, it's a two-edged sword, of course. Like anything else, like any other developments in human history, it's good and bad. If I was to think about it too much, I would despair of young people trying to make a go of it, make a living. It can obviously be done because there are people doing it, and they're doing it in a different way than it was done in the 60s and 70s and even 80s, but it can still be done. Because it's not done the same way it was done then doesn't mean that it's not valid or that it can't be, because it clearly can be and it will be. And I live in hope that at some point, maybe later this century, there'll be another period like the 60s and early 70s where there's a big creative explosion. I'm sure it won't take a form that we would recognise currently, but I'm sure it will be there, because these explosions happen from time to time in human history for whatever reason.
Exactly. You can't predict them or what the triggers are. No.
There was one in the early 19th century before World War One, when there was all sorts of musical experimentation and casting off of the past was happening. It will happen again. It will happen.
So if we were to bring in a group of young people who thought that they would like to be musicians and they were to sit here now, would you have any... I won't go as far as to say words of wisdom, but would you have any advice? Would there be anything you could share with them that might be either help them to become musicians or might help them to actually look for a different career?
I'd encourage them to become musicians, yes. I wouldn't discourage them. I think music's important. It's never stopped being important. It may be harder or different to make a living out of, but it's never stopped being important in people's lives, and I think it always will be. So I'd encourage anyone inclined to music to stick with music. Yeah, I don't know whether that would be sound financial advice or not. But
any advice on how they can actually make a go of it? I mean, talent is important, but having talent doesn't mean to say you're going to make a go of it.
No. Clearly. I don't think I do. One thing that I've followed most of my life is to say yes to everything, to say yes to a lot of to opportunities that presented themselves. That's why I've done lots of different things along the way. It's because somebody popped up and asked me to. Almost all the bands I've played with have been because somebody asked me to do it. It's been word of mouth. It's been because I've done something and somebody has noticed and said, well, this other situation might suit you as well.
So it's about making connections, and it's about actually not just sitting back and talking about doing it, but doing it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Getting out there.
Yeah. But I want to talk some more. We've hardly dealt with the 80s or 90s or noughties yet. I was a session musician for quite a while, playing on lots of jingles. I was a jingle writer in the noughties for about 7 or 8 years, writing jingle beds for about 100 different advertising products around the country. I became an arranger, where I'm writing charts, like printed music charts for big bands and little bands, for live to air TV shows like IMT and Carols by Candlelight. Still sometimes happens, ongoing. So I've written, I've become an arranger mainly over the last 25 years or so, and played with all manner of people who are more famous than the people I played with in the 70s, people like Brian Cadd. I've had an ongoing relationship for live performance relationship for the last 20 years. Mike Brady, Mike Brady's band's been going for pretty close to 30 years now. Colleen Hewitt, I've become a musical director. I became a musical director. That's something new to me. I sort of became that around the year 2002 for lots of different bands. And worked on Colin Hewitt's great album of a few years ago called Black and White. So I continue working with all these people, Frankie J. Holden and Wilbur Wilde. I work with them regularly, as I have been for 20, 30 years on various gigs, Yeah, come back and we'll talk for an hour and a half on all of that.
And we still might get only part of the story.
We might get part of the story, yes.
John Arthur, this has been a really interesting talk. Our time is up. Can I thank you so much for being on the program?
You can.
Thank you again. Thank you.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.